Okay, why don't we begin the Old Testament lesson is 1 Samuel 3. Shmuel Aleph. And this is the story of Samuel being called by God at the sanctuary under Eli. Now, what is it doing in the pericope system at this appointed time beats me. It's appointed for the second Sunday after Epiphany. The New Testament lesson is John 1, the calling of Philip, follow me. So maybe that's the idea, the general idea of when God calls you, say, here am I. But who knows what goes on in the minds of the pericopal inventors. I wish they had more exegetes on that in that group. Because they're always making the divisions in the wrong spots, you know. It's like, didn't you guys even read this thing? You can't just stop at that verse. Well, the appointed lesson is 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 10, which gets us to, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth, amen. So we miss what the Lord tells Samuel. That's not part of the lesson. this doesn't make too much sense to me. Well, Shmuel Aleph. In the Hebrew Bible, Samuel is one book. Just as Chronicles is one book, Kings is one book. And it's the Septuagint that divided it into two books, and our English style follows that division. Samuel's a fun book to read in Hebrew. It's a good practice of Hebrew, good standard narrative. And when you're reading Hebrew narrative, you want to follow the wow consecutive imperfects. Hebrew narrative is about is about past time, right? It's narrative about past events. And how does Hebrew do narrative about past events? They like to use, their main verb is a wow consecutive imperfect. That is a wow with an a vowel under it, with a pathak under it, and you double the preformative, as in vayomer, and he said. In this style, subjects follow verbs. That's your normal style. So you get in the habit of always looking after the verb to find the subject. Hebrew is a verb, subject, object, word order. English, of course, likes to put the subject before the verb. So in English, we go subject, verb. So you just have to get used to making these transitions from one language to another language. Also, Hebrew narrative likes to develop characterization. And how do they tell you what a character is like? Well, they don't very, very often tell you, this guy is XYZ. This guy is a no-good scoundrel. They don't often do that. But they let you know that in other ways. How do they do that? They do it with speeches. So let the guy talk. See? So in Hebrew narrative, you have a lot of dialogue. Not that much action, a lot of dialogue. Okay, we start then with verse 1. V'ha-na'ar. When you have a wow in front of a non-verb, chances are that's off the line. That's not part of the main line narrative sequence. It's going to give you background information. So you don't translate wow and, but something like, now it was the case. Now, the boy, the lad, Shmuel, that's his name, M'sharath, Apparently, it's supposed to be past time because the main verb is going to be past. But this technically is a participle. It's a PL participle. You can see the root sharath. You can see the mame in front of it with a schwa under it. And then an aval under the first letter. Those are the telltale signs of a PL participle. Sharath means to serve in the sanctuary. It's a technical term. It's what priests do. Priests sharath. It's kind of a liturgical term, to serve in the liturgy. Divine service. What's the more general word for serve? Avad. Evad. That's the more general. That's to serve anybody. So Samuel is doing priestly kind of duties there at the sanctuary, apparently in Shiloh, the tabernacle. Temple hasn't been built yet. Samuel was serving Eth, direct object marker, Yahweh. Lifne, it's a compound preposition, la and panim, to the face of. But it means, we usually translate it, before, in front of. In front of, before, Eli. That's the man's name, Eli. Eli. Notice that's not with an aleph, so don't confuse that with my God. It's with an ayin. Udvar Yahweh, and the word of Yahweh, Haya, was Yakar, precious. Yakar technically means precious, but here it means rare. In other words, it's so precious, it's so valuable because it's so rare. The word of Yahweh was rare by Yamim in the days, Hahim, those ones. English, we put the those in front of days, so we say in those days. Hahim then is a demonstrative pronoun. The word of the Lord of Yahweh was rare in those days. Ein kazon, there was no kazon, vision. Kazon is a noun that means a prophetic vision. This is, for instance, the title of the book of Obadiah, a kazon Ovadia, the vision of Obadiah. This is, it indicates a prophetic message. It's a technical term. So at that time, there weren't any prophets, which is kind of an interesting point to notice and reflect on, that, you know, different times are different. God doesn't always produce exactly the same thing in every generation. And so, on occasion, he'll raise up a judge. Sometimes he won't during the period of the judges. Sometimes he'll raise up prophets. Sometimes he doesn't. You can have these periods. When we read the Bible, oftentimes lay people think, you know, there are miracles on every page. And then they ask, Pastor, how come we aren't seeing all kinds of miracles today? I mean, the Red Sea parting in half and that kind of stuff. And, well, it's not a complete answer, but one of the things I say is, there weren't miracles every day in the entire history of Israel. You know, they went for whole periods of time without any miracles. During the Persian period, the book of Esther, no miracles. Ezra and Nehemiah, no miracles. See? So, you know, you got to kind of realize that in the Bible we have recorded from Abraham to Jesus 2,000 years of history, see? And don't just kind of lump it all into one box. 2,000 years of history that's very different, just like the last 2,000 years of history. So there was no prophet around at that time. The word, therefore, was rare. The word of Yahweh, in other words, through a prophet. There was no vision, nifratz, broken out. Paratz means to break out. This is a nifal that has been broken out. In other words, has been widespread. That's the idea. Vayhi, and it happened, by Yom HaHu in that day. Now, this is how you indicate past tense narration. So he's talking past tense here. And it happened in that day. Va'eli. Now, this is not the main clause. The main clause begins with a wow plus a verb. That's what you look for. So when you have these wows plus nouns, these are offline clauses. These are circumstantial clauses. So he's still characterizing the period. Now it happened in that day, while Eli Shokev, that's a participle, was lying, Shakav, to lie on your bed, was lying, Bimkomo, that's from Makom, in his place, Va'enau, and the K-ray there wants you to read that as a plural noun. Look to the right, to the Masorah on the right, you see Va'enau with a yod after the nun and before the wow, and then a kof underneath it. That's telling, the Masoretes are telling you, read it that way. And his eyes... See, in other words, the spelling that they gave you, the consonants they gave you, is singular, his eye. But they want you to read it as a plural. And his eyes, hekelu, began, this is from kalal, that's why the lamed is doubled, and it's a hifil, began, kehoth, to grow dim, lo, you call, he was not able, lir oath, to see. Actually, we're going to see that there's an ironic spin put on this. Eli is not able to see in more ways than one, and we'll find that out later, but for now, it just means he can't see so well with his eyesight. All right. Verse 3, this is more background information. Vaner, while the lamp, Elohim of God... The lamp of God apparently is the light in the tabernacle, lampstand, and they call it, it's interesting, they call it the lamp of God, Terem, before Yikbeh, it was quenched. And some more background information. So this is in the evening, before they put out the light, Ushmuel, while Samuel, Shokev, was lying, Behekal, in the Hekal of Yahweh. Hekal is a general word. It means palace, temple, sanctuary, holy place. Here I think it's referring to not the Holy of Holies, but the tabernacle in a general sense. It's probably referring to some of the side rooms, or it could be even in the holy place itself. In the Hekal of Yahweh, Asher, which, Sham, there, Aaron Elohim was the Ark of God. That's referring to the tabernacle as a whole. In the tabernacle was the Ark of God. Of course, that was in the Holy of Holies. I don't think that Samuel himself was sleeping in the Holy of Holies, but he's just telling you which big house he's talking about. Actually, etymologically, Hekal originally meant just big house. Okay, so Samuel's in the tabernacle, lying down. Now comes the main clause that was introduced in verse 2, and it happened in that day, verse 4, Vayikra Yahweh. Yahweh called out, notice the wow consecutive, that gives you the main storyline. Yahweh called out El Shemuel to Samuel, Vayomer, and he said, obviously Samuel's the subject of this, and he said, Hineni, here am I. So Samuel I think it's God says, here am I. That's odd, isn't it? I just assumed it was Samuel that said, here am I, but the next line has Samuel running to Eli, and I suppose you could argue that Samuel said, here am I, and then Samuel ran to Eli, or you could maybe say God is the one who said, here am I. Hineni, anyway, is from Hine. It means look, behold, like you do in Greek, and then ne in the end, me. Look, me. Yo, is how we do it in English. Vayarots, and he ran, Samuel, so Samuel must be the subject of the previous verb. Samuel said, here am I. And he ran, El Eli, to Eli, Vayomer, and he said, Hineni, here am I. Ki karatha, for you called, Li, to me. Vayomer, you got to assume the Eli is speaking here. And Eli said, Lo karathi, I did not call. Shuv, return, shakav, lie down. Vayelik, and he went, Vayishkav, and he lied down. So all these wild consecutives, you can really follow the storyline. By Yosef, Yahweh, and Yahweh a second time continued to karo, to call, that's an infinitive construct, od, again, Shemuel, Samuel. By Yakom, Shemuel, and Samuel arose, this is from the verb kum. By Yelek, this is from the verb halak, you lose the hey on this while consecutive form, imperfect form. And Samuel arose, and he went, El Eli, to Eli, by Yomer, and he said, Hineni, here am I. Behold, me, ki karatha, for you called thee to me. By Yomer, you got to assume again a change in subject, and he said, namely Eli said, Lo karathi, I did not call, Bani, my son. That's interesting. My son, so it shows the close relationship between Eli and Samuel. Samuel is not just an employee. Shuv, shakav, turn, lie down. Verse 7. Ushmuel, now this is offline. This is not part of the sequence. This is background information. Now Samuel, Terem, before Yada, he knew Eth Yahweh, Yahweh, Vaterem, and before Yigale, Elau, Devar Yahweh, before the word of Yahweh, Yigale. That's a Nifal imperfect of Gala. Gala means to reveal. So in the Nifal, to be revealed. Before the word of Yahweh was revealed, Elau, to him. So this happened while before Samuel knew Yahweh. What does that mean? Well, it means, apparently, that before he had been called into Yahweh's service, that he was kind of, a janitor there at the sanctuary, and God had not yet called him as a prophet, the word of Yahweh had not yet come to him, and he wasn't in this intimate relationship, Yada, with Yahweh. So, preordination, I guess you'd say. Verse 8, or pre-confirmation maybe. Verse 8, by Yosef, or pre-baptism, by Yosef Yahweh, and Yosef and Yahweh again began to, or continued to, karo, call, Shemuel, Samuel, Bashalithith, in the third time. So he called him a third time, Vayakom, and he arose, Vayelik, and he went, El Eli, to Eli, Vayomer, and he said, Hineni, here am I, Ki Karatha Li, for you called me to me, Vayaven. Now this is from the verb being. It means to understand. It's a hollow root. And you can see that comments under the preformative. That indicates you're working with a hollow root. And he understood, Eli is the subject, and Eli understood now, key that, Yahweh Kore was calling La Na'ar to the boy. Vayomer Eli, and Eli said, Lishmuel to Samuel, Lake, go, Shakav, lie down, Vahaya, and it will happen, Im, if, Yikra, he calls Eleka to you, that's the if clause. The then clause is signaled by a wow in front of a verb. Then, va amarta, you will say, daber, that's a PL imperative, speak, Yahweh, ki shomea avdeka, for your servant, shomea, is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. By Yelik, Shemuel, Notice Samuel is God's Evet servant here. And Samuel went by Yishkov, and he lied down Bimkomo in his place by Yavoh Yahweh, and Yahweh came. Notice how God is portrayed and depicted in a very down-to-earth, personal way. So God comes, and he kind of stands there right in front of Samuel and says, "Hey, yo, Samuel, this is not Aristotle's God, the unmoved mover. This is a God who moves around with the people, comes down, talks to them, listens to them, responds. It's very much of an incarnational type of God already in the Old Testament." And I've often remarked that in the Old Testament, Yahweh is a character in a story like Jesus is in the New Testament. You know, he kind of, you know, moves around in the story, goes there, talks, listens, says, "Okay, I'll do that," and so on. So we kind of have to knock out all of this Greek philosophy out of us in order to understand the Old Testament. And Yahweh came by Yith Yatsev, and he stationed himself by Yikra, and he called Kepa'am Bepa'am, as times before, as time by time before, Shemuel, Shemuel, Samuel, Samuel, by Yomer, Shemuel, and Samuel said, "Daber, speak, ki shomea avdeka, for your servant heareth." Now that's the end of the pericope, that's the end of the pericope according to the three-year lectionary. So, you know, we never hear the rest of the story. So what did Yahweh say? you know, like I was saying before, I don't understand this. Who are these guys that pick these pericopes? Anyway, well, let's read the story, what the rest of the story is, and I'll just translate it for you. Is Yahweh said to Samuel, "Behold, I am going to do a thing in Israel which all who hear it, their two ears will tingle. In that day I will raise up to Eli everything which I have said to his house from the beginning to the end, and I declare, and I have declared to him that I am judging his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons are belittling with respect to themselves, and he has not restrained them." So his sons are belittling Yahweh, and Eli has not restrained them. Verse 14, "Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli, surely the iniquity of the house of Eli will not be kafard. It will not be atoned for, bazevach, by sacrifice or by offering forever." So God is saying, I'm remembering the sin of Eli's house. I'm not going to let their sacrifice take it away. They're going to be punished. That's really an incredible judgment statement against the whole house of Eli. And notice, it's one of these, you know, to the third and fourth generations. So Eli's sons, the whole house gets sacked. It's kind of this corporate guilt of the whole family. Well, that's the story, and I assume that the pericope wants us to focus on Samuel's statement, you know, "Here am I, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth," that idea, and how that should be our response to God's word as well. But you might want to mention the rest of the story. What God says might not always be nice and polite. God has some tough things to say, and are we willing to listen to those tough things too? Okay, thank you very much.
Make sure you always listen to Paul's point about the character in his story. It's a great point. If he'd be famous, everybody in the world would know about this. That in the Old Testament, the character of God, or the godlike divine character who acts, is Yahweh. In the New Testament, the divine character who acts is not God the Father, but it's Jesus. And it's a very, very good and very salient point. You know, Paul, I was thinking as you went on with the rest of the story, it's sort of an extreme version, isn't it, of that in 1 Timothy 3, that if a man is not able to control his own household, he can't be a pastor. You know, this is, yeah, boy, and your house will be snuffed out, you know. All right, we have for the New Testament John 1, 43 to the end of the chapter, which is 51. And I want to make sure that we get to the end of that with that Jacob's ladder business. Te ep aurion, and the next day, athelesen, which is Jesus, desired ex elthine, aorist active infinitive, to go into Galilee. Now, notice athelesen, you don't often see that verb in the aorist. It's usually in the imperfect. And you might wonder why it is athelesen, because the classical form was ethelo, not thelo. You know it as thelo, classical ethelo, so the epsilon augments to eta. He wanted, and remember that differs generally from boulamai in that it's a little bit more innate as opposed to just kind of figuring about something, desired to go into Galilee, and he finds, now note the lapse into the present, which is going to be your focus now, whereas you're sort of backgrounded with that aorist. And he finds Philip, and he says to him, Jesus does, Paul, there's one of those verb subject kind of Hebrew things that you always point out, and he says to him, Jesus, akaluthai moi, follow me. Let me parse that. That is second singular, present, imperative, active from an eo contract verb, akalutheo. That I ending is not third singular, that's from the contract verb. Often akalutheo takes the present for imperatives. Certainly with the present imperative, you have one of two things, either emphatic or it is on a policy type of basis. So if I just said to somebody like John, follow me into the kitchen to pick up a tray, I would not use the aorist, I would just use I would not use the present, I would use the aorist. But if it's follow me for life, then it would tend to be this way. Or it could be emphatic, like follow me, come on, right now. And Philip was from Bethsaida, ektes poleos Andreu kai Petru, from the city of Andrew and Peter. I saw a note recently that there might be a difference between a paw and ek with people like this. You're a paw, a city you're living in. You're ek, a city you were born in. So it could be something like this, that he was from Bethsaida now, but he had actually been born in...